Welcome to TTM Cast, the podcast for the TTM autograph collector, sponsored by sportscardforum.com, the ultimate in sports card trading and discussion. And now, here's our host, Jeff Baker.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Season 2, Episode 9 of TTM Cast, the podcast for the TTM autograph collector. And my name is Jeff Baker. I'm your host for the program. We have a real special guest today. We spoke with Mike Arizzioni, who was the captain of the 1980 U.S. Olympic gold medal hockey team, and we talked to Mike about his new book, Making of a Miracle, and also talked about some of his experiences with the Olympics and dealing with TTM requests on autographs. So hopefully you hang in for there. It was a pleasure speaking to Mr. Mike Arizzioni. As I said, my name is Jeff Baker. I'm your host for the program. If you have any comments, questions, or concerns regarding the program, please send me an email at ttmcast@yahoo.com. Once again, my email address is ttmcast@yahoo.com. If you're interested in being a guest on a future show, send me a quick note and we can set that up. I'm always looking for guests to talk TTM, talk collecting, to talk sports. So send me a quick email at ttmcast@yahoo.com. I am on Twitter at @castttm. I am involved in many Facebook groups, many TTM Facebook groups. So I'm posting all my TTM successes there. Check that out on various social media sites. If you have an Alexa device, it's easy to listen to our podcast. We're on TuneIn on your Alexa device. All you have to say is, Alexa, play TTM Cast Podcast, and you can hear this show and all previous shows. So make it easy to find us. We're also on everywhere podcasts are including Spotify, Podbean, Google Listen, iTunes, Stitcher. As I said, tune in. We have a forum on sportscardforum.com. So we are all over social media and everywhere podcasts can be found. Please tune in. Spread the word to your friends and family and fellow collectors. Let them know what we're doing. Let people know what's happening with TTM. If they're looking for a place to learn about TTM, to talk about TTM, to hear ex-athletes and former athletes and industry professionals talk about TTM, this is the place. Please let them know about this fine show. And now on to our first segment, as always, is Baker's Dozen, which is kind of a brain dump of what's been going on in the past week in the hobby and in the world of sports, and obviously the coronavirus has really affected all of us, our day-to-day enjoyment of sports. All the leagues have canceled or postponed their events and their games, and that's understandable. I'm going to miss the NCAA tournament this year. I'm really missing spring training and watching NBA and NHL, so it gives everyone a chance to start, I guess, read a book or reintroduce yourself to your family, or organize all those cards that you have sitting in your basement or your office. That's what I've been doing the last couple days. I actually bought the show for a ticket for the National, which is coming up at the beginning of the week, not realizing we're having all these problems with coronavirus and things might be getting canceled, but we're hoping that the National, that is the end of July, beginning of August in Atlantic City, will go on, and we will be kind of over this emergency, and the virus will have subsided, and we'll have a better way to deal with it. I have my ticket for the National. The National guests have been announced. I've noticed that a bunch of shows, card shows and collectible shows, have been canceled in recent days. The show in Chicago this week that got canceled. There's a show in Nashville that got canceled. I know we have a show in scheduled for Wilmington, Massachusetts, the Rich Altman show, and in a couple weeks in April. I don't think that's been canceled yet, but I'm guessing that is going to be canceled. So the coronavirus obviously is having an effect on collecting and sports, and I'm not sure how it's going to affect our TTM returns. We're not quite sure. I see a lot of people are holding off, saying TTM for a couple weeks to see how things go. I haven't decided to do that. I'm going to still try to send out my 8 to 10 a week and see how it goes. The returns this week have been a little slow, but it's kind of, I don't know if that's from Corona or that's from just regular, you know, not having a lot of things out there, but we'll see. So, you know, sit tight. We will all ride this through and get through it. Hopefully your family, you and your family are healthy, and we'll all get through this. So we have a couple other things. We have, I saw PSA starting April 1st is no longer accepting carbon copy submissions for cards, tickets, packs, or anything else. Everything has to be done on their website. So if you're doing anything with PSA, please have all your submissions on the PSA website. And I'd just like to let everyone know our next show will be on next Sunday, March 22nd. As I said, I've got interviews lined up basically for the rest of the month and into the first week of April. I've got a couple of interviews that I'm going to be doing next week. So the show will go on. Even though we don't have any games going on, we don't have much sports going on, and we're not have a lot of uncertainty with TTMing, we still will be talking TTMing and talking sports collectibles. So please join in. Our next show will be Sunday, March 22nd. And now on to our Vern Rapp Minute. Our Vern Rapp Minute is dedicated to Mr. Vern Rapp, who had passed away after I had sent him an autograph request. And I was embarrassed by sending out an autograph request to someone who had passed away. So I dedicate this minute, this segment to Mr. Vern Rapp, and letting everyone know some of the people who have passed away in the past week or so in sports and the celebrity world. So we lost a few people this past week or week and a half, because I didn't do a true Vern Rapp minute last week. So we lost Del Schaffner, who was a Hall of Fame wide receiver for the New York Giants and LA Rams. He was the first person to get 1,000 yards on two different teams. So Mr. Schaffner was 85 years old. We lost Glossner Richardson, who was a wide receiver for the Kansas City Chiefs, Dallas Cowboys for a year, and the Cleveland Browns. He played in two Super Bowls, and he was 77 years old. In hockey, we lost Henri Richard, who played 20 years with the Montreal Canadiens and won 11 cups. And he is a Hockey Hall of Famer. He's brother of Rocket Richard, and he was 84 years old. In the world of baseball, we lost a couple of former Red Sox. We lost Mr. Don Pavlich, who was a catcher for the Cincinnati Reds primarily, and he played a year for the White Sox and played 2 years for the Red Sox in the early 70s. He played 12 years in the major leagues, and he was basically the Reds catcher before Johnny Bench came around. So we lost Mr. Don Pavlich. We also lost somebody from my youth, Mr. Ted Cox. Ted Cox was played for the Red Sox, came up through the Red Sox system, and actually was traded from the Red Sox to the Indians for Dennis Eckersley. He had six hits in a game for the Red Sox, and he was a good TTM signer. I got his autograph for my 1978 set about a year ago. So we lost Mr. Ted Cox. And lastly, in the world of celebrity world, we lost James Lipton, who was the host of Inside the Actor's Studio. He was 93. Mr. Lipton was a voice actor, and he was very famous for hosting the Inside the Actor's Studio. So my condolences go out to all the people that we lost in the last week or 10 days, and we're sorry for your loss. And now on to returns. As I said in the opening, we had just a few returns this week, but still nice additions to my collection. I got a Roy White on a 1977 Topps card. Sent it to Roy White a couple weeks ago with no donation. I got a return. I got a 2010 Rich Harden on the Chicago Cubs. He signed his name in blue Sharpie with his uniform number 40, and sent it to his home in Phoenix, and that came back in a couple weeks. I got two cards for my 1992 game day set. And I got Andre Ware, former Heisman Trophy winner on a 92 game day set, and he signed it in a black Sharpie, and he returned it in, I don't know, 2 or 3 weeks, so I was very, very pleased to see that. I saw he had just started signing, so I, a lot of his returns were old, but were out there for a while, but this, I sent it to him, and he sent it back fairly quickly. And I got Jeff Fiegels, who was a punter for the Philadelphia Eagles back in the 90s. He also played for the New England Patriots. And I got him on my 92 game day set. This was the second time I sent to Jeff Fiegels. The first time I got an RTS and I got a different address. I sent it to his home in New Jersey. And he returned it to me in probably less than 2 weeks, certainly. And that kind of wraps up returns. As I said, I didn't send out anything last week. I was actually on vacation from work last week, and was dealing, my kids were home from school for spring break, so we did a few things in spring break, and then all of a sudden this Corona stuff started. So I've got a bunch of stuff kind of ready to go, and I will be sending that some stuff out next week. So returns were a little slow this week, but it's okay. You know, it was one a day basically, and I actually don't mind getting one a day, and it's nice to have something in the mail. So that kind of wraps up returns for the week. And our final segment is always our interview segment. As I said in the onset that I had the opportunity to talk to Mike Arizioni. Mike was captain of the 1980 U.S. Olympic hockey team that won the gold medal, and he was the one that scored the game-winning goal against the Soviet Union in the semifinal game, and he is also just wrote a new book, so we talk about his new book, Making of a Miracle. We also talk about some of the things that he has seen over the last 40 years since becoming a celebrity, so to speak. And we also talk autographs and TTM. And so hopefully you enjoy my interview with Mr. Mike Arizioni.
This week's interview is brought to you by SportsCardForum.com, the ultimate in sports card trading and discussion.
Joining us on the TTMcast hotline is captain of the 1980 Winter Olympics gold medal U.S. hockey team and author of the new book, The Making of the Miracle, Mr. Mike Arizioni. Welcome to the program, Mike.
Hey, thank you very much. Thanks for having me on.
It was a thrill. You know, 40 years. Are you amazed that 40 years have gone by since that momentous home?
It flew by. You know, it's hard to believe it's been that long, but reality sets in.
Well, you guys had a 40th reunion recently. It must have been nice to see all the guys again.
Yeah, we got together. We were in Las Vegas. The Vegas Knights brought the whole team out there, the guys that were available, and it was great. It was, you know, we always get, you know, we always enjoy getting together. We don't do it that often, so it was fun to see the guys, and a lot of guys brought their wives, so haven't seen the wives in a long time, so it was a nice event.
I mean, it seems like you guys had a real genuine camaraderie as a team, and I think that, yeah. Is it strange for you that continued after the Olympics?
No, you know, these guys are all good guys, great guys. You know, we had a bond and a friendship that we shared for obviously 6 months during the Olympics, and have been able to share for the last 40 years. You know, a lot of the guys are from Minnesota, so they see each other quite a bit. But the Boston guys, although two of us only live in Boston now, Jimmy lives in Florida, so does Jack O'Callaghan. So we don't get to see each other that often, but like I said, when we get together, it's like we've never been apart.
One of the things that inspired me to contact you is I actually watched Miracle again for about the 90th time, and one of my favorite scenes in the movie is that touch football game that you guys played on Christmas. Was that a real occurrence, or was that just made for the movie?
No, we had a Christmas party, and in the movie I think they have Herb getting the whip and Craig Patrick getting the whistle, but we didn't go out and play touch football. We stayed inside, and everybody had a gag gift for someone else. So it was just like a team party inside. So I guess they decided just to have it, have the guys outside throwing a football around.
Wow, that's too bad, because I really enjoyed that. I thought that was a cool scene. Now, was it
weird for you to see someone else playing you in, on screen and you know, kind of living your life on screen?
Yeah, I think the whole thing is kind of strange. You know, you never thought you'd be part of a moment that would become a movie. So I think it caught us all kind of by surprise. But I think, again, you know, we're pretty excited about an opportunity to have, like I said, a movie made about you and my teammates. So I think we embraced it.
Yeah, I mean, even, you know, 40 years later or 20 years later, whenever the movie came out, the movie still plays well, if you know what I mean. You can still, it's very rewatchable.
Yeah, I haven't seen it in probably, I don't know, 10 or 12 years. But
I'm sure.
I have grandkids now, so I think at some point they're going to want to watch it.
Now you have written a new book, The Making of a Miracle. What inspired you to write a book after all this time?
Basically my grandkids. I have 5 grandkids, and I don't know if I'm going to have any more, but I wanted my grandkids to know that, you know, their grandfather's life wasn't one day or one week or one goal or one game. I wanted my grandkids to know, you know, a little bit about their great-grandmother and great-grandfather. I wanted them to know about my life growing up, how I ended up at Boston University, how I ended up on the Olympic team. You know, my life has had a lot of twists and turns, and I wanted them to know the whole story about me. So that's really the basis behind the book.
Now, in the book, did you cover any stories about the team that hadn't been told? You know, there's so much has been written and recorded about the team and the winning of the medal and all this. Did you cover any stories that hadn't been told previously?
No, not really. I think probably most of the stories in there were about, you know, my life and things that people didn't know about me.
Okay.
I think the book probably has a couple of little things here and there about our team during the Olympics, but I think most of the stuff is, you know, it was known, pretty public information.
Do you want to? I want to share a story that people don't know that maybe haven't read the book yet that you covered in the book.
What's that?
Do you want to hear a story that maybe you haven't, that people don't know, but that you covered in the book, so to let people
how I ended up at Boston University. I wasn't recruited by anybody out of college, out of high school. I went to prep school for a year. I wanted to go to University of New Hampshire, and they didn't think I was, you know, a Division I hockey player. So I basically had no school to go to. I was going to go to Merrimack College, which at the time was a Division II school. They weren't Division I. And I was a baseball, football player in high school, and hockey was something I played, obviously, in the wintertime. And in the summer, I played baseball. And I had a phone call from a friend of mine looking for somebody to play in a summer league game. So I went and played the game. And it turns out the guy refereeing the game was Jack Parker, who was the assistant coach at Boston University. I didn't know who Jack Parker was. And after the game, he offered me a full scholarship to Boston University because they had a kid from Canada that had decided not to come to BU. So, and that's in the book. If I never played in that summer league game, I wouldn't have gone to BU. And if I never went to BU, I don't know if I'd have had a chance to play on the Olympic team. So, you know, a lot of, like I said, twists and turns in my life.
Yeah, it's amazing how just one thing that you didn't think is going to affect you really does affect you, really for the rest of your life.
Yeah. So you know, that those are, you know, some of the things in the book that people don't know about me.
That's cool. I look forward to reading it. Now, you know, you guys have been synonymous with the word miracle. You know, Al Michaels came up with the feeling, the phrase, do you believe in miracles? Your book is The Making of the Miracles, miracle, the movie's miracle. Do you think what you guys did at the Olympics was a miracle?
No, I don't think so. I've never looked at sports as miracles. I think we have so many things that happen in our lives with doctors that save people's lives and firemen and policemen and things that they do day in and day out. Sometimes they perform miracles. To us, it was a hockey game. It was a catchy phrase. It sounded good.
Yeah.
And it's obviously grown with our team, and I think that's why when we wrote the book, HarperCollins really wanted to make sure the word miracle was in the title of the book in some way. And we were able to find a place to put it at the beginning.
Now, you know, in your life since you were in the Olympics, you've met a lot of famous people. Can you give me one or two stories of somebody that you were just like, oh, that was somebody that you really wanted to meet, or somebody that you were kind of starstruck meeting? You know,
I'm not a big starstruck guy. I mean, I did play golf with President Trump last year, but I've known him a long time. You know, I've met great friends over the years, you know, Mario Lemieux, John Elway, Dan Marino, Michael Jordan, Charles Barkley, all guys like that you play golf with. I had a chance to have dinner with Frank Sinatra at his home in California. I got to meet Ted Williams, who was my dad's idol, and, you know, couldn't believe I had a chance to meet him. But, you know, it's just people are people. I've been excited to meet pilots and the bartenders and waiters and waitresses. So my life has covered basically the whole parts of the United States, and I've run the full gamut of meeting people. And, you know, I've met actors and actresses, but we're all people in the end. And, you know, some of these athletes that I've met have become very close friends over the years. Of course, like I said, I play a lot of golf and get to see these guys quite a bit. But, you know, I never looked at them as, oh my God, look who that person is. Maybe other than Sinatra, because that was, you know, somebody my dad admired as well. But for the most part, I just kind of look at them as we're all people. We all do different things.
Ted Williams would have done it for me. I would have been just like, I wouldn't have been able to speak with him. He seems to be an opposing person, if you know what I mean, from his personality. And I shook hands with him when I was a kid, but I don't think I could even talk to him.
No, he was very nice.
Now I'm sure you grew up a Bruin fan like myself. I'm about 10 years younger than you, so I'm sure you were deep into the Big Bad Bruins and Bobby Orr and those whole great.
Well, not really. I'm a sports fan. You know, we didn't have a television when I was a kid till I was 12, and Bobby Orr is not much older than me. So Bobby came along while I was in high school and already kind of started playing the game of hockey. But, you know, I follow our sports teams. You know, I obviously follow the Red Sox and the Patriots and the Celtics. I think as a kid, the Celtics probably more so than anything, because my uncle used to listen to the games on the radio, and I used to go upstairs and sit on the couch and we'd listen to Johnny Most. So, yeah, I probably grew up maybe following the Celtics more than I did anything else.
Right. I have a kind of a winter connection. I'm a Boston guy as well. You might not remember, my dad owned Strover Drug on Shirley Avenue.
Absolutely.
That was my dad's drugstore. So.
Oh, wow. Yes, yeah. We used to go to Stover's.
Yep. So I used to, when I was a little kid, again, I'm 10 years younger than you, I used to go in and work with him on Saturdays and Sundays, so I might have met you.
You probably saw me trying to steal something out of the store.
Well, he closed the store in probably the mid-70s, so I got a lot of, like, the gumball machine that was in the store and some of the stuff from the signs that were in the soda fountain, and it always is warm memories to me. So it's different time, but
right.
I always liked going to Winthrop. That was a big thing for me when I was a little kid. So I want to talk just briefly about your minor league hockey career. You know, a lot of people don't know that you played minor league hockey before you played with the Olympic team, and you were a pretty good goal scorer back then.
Thank you. I thought I was a pretty good goal scorer at every level that I played at. You know, I scored 98 in college, and I had a bunch when I was playing in Toledo. And, you know, I think during the Olympic year, I had my fair share of goals. But, you know, I guess if you play enough hockey, you have a chance to score a lot of goals. That's how I looked at it.
Yeah, well, I mean, I was just kind of commenting that you were kind of the unsung guy on the team in terms of the people's expectations when you were, you know, when you guys were playing before the tournament started, and then you were fortunate enough to be in the right place at the right time, but obviously you had skills to score that goal. You know what I mean? It wasn't just a one-timer.
No, I mean, I think as a player, all of my teammates played at a high level throughout their careers. So, you know, we'd have all done a lot of great things. You know, look at some of the numbers Mark Johnson put up over his career at college, and what Davey Christian and Neil Broughton did. Neil in the NHL was amazing, in 100 points a couple of years. So, you know, I've always looked at it as I right place, right time, and did the right thing with the opportunity I had.
Yeah. Now, just a couple more questions. You know, I appreciate your time. We're speaking with Mike Verzioni. Mike is, of course, captain of the 1980 Winter Olympics gold medal U.S. hockey team. He is author of a new book, The Making of the Miracle, which is available on Amazon. It is on Barnes & Noble. It's basically anywhere books are sold, right, Mike?
I had a bad connection there. What was that last one?
Oh, sorry. We were just talking about where the book was available.
Oh, yeah. You can buy it on Amazon. I think it's in Barnes & Noble stores. And one of my friends was in Chicago the other day, and he saw it at the airport. So maybe it's in airports as well.
Yeah, I was there last week, I went looking for it. I didn't see it, but maybe they just recently added it in Chicago.
Yeah, that's possible.
Now, you know, we are as I told you before, we're a memorabilia and autograph show. People, you know, collect autographs, and you get a lot of autograph requests through the mail.
Oh, yeah. every day I probably get 4 or 5. So okay. I'm constantly getting them. People around the country sending, you know, wanting autograph pictures or sending, you know, magazines or pictures for me to sign to send back.
Now, yeah, you know, you've been always very cordial and oblige people with your autographs. Is that something that you made a decision to early in your career in terms of, oh, if someone asks, wants my autograph, you know, I'm going to give it to them?
Yeah, I mean, I think if people take the time out of their way to send me something, and I have no problem signing it. I guess I get a little frustrated with the collectors, the people who get them and sell them.
Yep.
But I've kind of figured that out. I kind of know some of the addresses. When people send it to me, I recognize it being the same address. So I usually just don't sign those and I mail them back. But people, you know, people send you nice letters. They have nice pictures, and you can tell it's someone that really cares about the having the autograph, and it's something they're not going to sell. And that's how I look at it. I've never deprived anybody of an autograph, other than, like I said, sometimes I'll recognize the address and know it's you know, the same person that keeps sending me pictures, and I know that they're obviously not collecting them for themselves.
Now, with the coronavirus that we're facing, do you think you're going to change your autograph signing habits through the mail, or is that something you have?
No, I'll still sign them. I don't know. I haven't read anything where you can get something through the mail yet. So, you know, people, like I said, they send me the picture. I open the envelope, I sign it, and I send it back. I've never, you know, I haven't even thought about the corona issue as far as catching something in the mail. Maybe.
Yeah, Sorry. I don't
think maybe if I read up on that, then I'll think about it. But I don't think that's going to be an issue.
All right. Now, is there anything that you really enjoy signing, or have you seen anything kind of different? Like, and I'm sure you get all the same type of pictures that are found on the internet, or
yeah,
you know,
it's usually the same type of pictures. You know, Sports Illustrated covers. You know, my game winning goal picture. Yeah, magazines. I mean, I don't think I've never signed a picture I haven't seen. So,
okay.
I don't know. You know, if somebody finds a new one for me, it'll surprise me.
Now, do you go to many shows, collector shows?
I only do the ones the team does. So we've done a couple of those over the years. I'm not a believer in charging people for my signature, but you know that my teammates, you know, get invited, or we get invited as a team. So if the team wants to go, I'll go. If the team says they don't want to go, then I won't go. So I don't plan on, you know, going to any by myself, unless down the road I feel that maybe financially it'd be worth my while. But right now I only go if the team decides to go, and we usually do one or two a year at best.
Now, have you guys? Well, no, I was talking to one of my friends the other day, and I said, you know, I'm going to talk to Mike Edwards, the owner. Do you have any questions I should ask him? And his question was, when was the last time you guys got together on the ice and played, you know, just like a charity game or a pickup game? Has that happened? I know we're all getting a little older now, but
yeah, no, we've never played as a team again. Since we beat Finland, there have been occasions where a couple of guys have played in the charity game together, but as a team, no. The last game we played was against Finland.
Wow, that's interesting. Now, in terms of you personally collecting, do you have some memorabilia from your minor league playing days, or Olympic jersey and stuff like that?
I sold all my Olympic memorabilia a few years ago to. A place out of Dallas. I'm drawing a blank now. I got $1.3 million for all
wow.
my memorabilia. Basically gave the money to my kids and to charity. I still have my gold medal. I still have the ring that we got from the Olympics. I still have the torch that we lit the cauldron in Salt Lake City. But other than that, I don't think I have any. I'm trying to find my ice skates. I think they're out there somewhere in the museum. I'm trying to get those back if I can find them. But, yeah, you know what? It all sat in my closet in an attic in my hockey bag. And like I said, a few years ago, I decided it was Heritage Auction House out of Dallas.
Okay.
I decided to sell all my stuff and did, and I don't even know who has it.
Did you keep any minor league stuff, like from Toledo?
No, I had none of that. I might have a jersey in my closet somewhere upstairs, but I had it, and it was sitting in a trunk somewhere. So I just figured let's get it out there and let people who want it have it, because I'm not going to display it. And like I said, the money went to good use. My daughter bought a house. My two sons have kind of used a little of the money for things that they feel are important in their lives, for their kids or their grandkids someday.
Well, that's nice. I mean, it's better than just sitting in a closet somewhere or in your basement. So I'm sure it did good, and so the people that got it were happy to get to have a little piece of piece of history and a piece of something that is meaningful to them as well.
Yeah, I think so. I think obviously they probably whoever has it probably displays it somewhere. Maybe someday I'll figure out where it is and who has it.
Now you're doing work for BU, your alma mater. What are you doing?
Yeah, I work at Boston University. My title is Director of Special Outreach. I do a variety of things for the school, from fundraising to meeting with students, meeting with recruits, attending alumni events. Kind of, it's almost like an ambassadorship role in some ways.
Nice. It gives you kind of be involved with the university and keep you busy.
Yeah, it gives me a job when I'm not traveling, doing my speaking engagements or things like that, and I have an office to come to, so it's kind of fun.
Okay. We're sticking with Mike Ruzzioni. Of course, Mike was captain of the 1980 Winter Olympics gold medal U.S. hockey team. He is author of a new book, The Making of a Miracle. It's available on Amazon and kind of anywhere books are sold. Do you have any book signing tours planned, now that we're facing some uncertainty here with this coronavirus?
No, I've done four little places. I did something in Cambridge. I did something up in New Hampshire. I did something on Long Island. I did something in New Jersey. I was going to do something in Lake Placid this weekend, but that got canceled.
Yep.
I don't have any plans right now to do any, especially with what's going on. I don't have any plans to go anywhere and do any signings.
Now, is it okay for me to say if you if someone buys your book, they can send it to you and you'll cordially sign it for them? Is that okay?
Yeah, they can send it to me at Boston University. I'm on my, they can probably find my address pretty quickly. I'm right on Commonwealth Avenue. And if they buy it, they can send it, and I'll sign it and send it back, as long as they send an envelope for me to send it back in.
Exactly. You don't want to be paying postage for all your fans, right?
Right.
All right. Well, is there anything that we didn't talk about today that you want to mention? Anything you're promoting? Any charitable organizations that you
work with? I have my own charitable foundation. It's called Winthrop Charities. I set it up years ago when my mom passed away. So I've had a great little foundation. We do a comedy night. We do a golf tournament. And the money basically stays in my town of Winthrop, although I have distributed money over the years to other organizations. So, Winthrop Charities is my foundation, and it's fun to play Santa Claus. We buy Christmas gifts for kids who can't afford Christmas gifts. We buy food for families at Thanksgiving that can't afford a meal. So we do a lot of good things, and it's fun to give back.
Well, to my listeners, if you do send a request to Mike, for an autograph or you want a book signed, drop a check along to the Winthrop Charities. Mike, if you want to give the address, if someone just wants to make a donation, you can do that as well.
Well, you can just send it to 28 Thornton Street, Winthrop, Mass. In my name, and my daughter usually takes care of all that stuff.
All right. Well, Mike, I'll put that address on my website, and when I post the podcast this week, so I will let people know if they're interested in helping out, as a thank you in your name for all, the the things you've done for the country and for, you know, it was a trying time when you guys were playing, and, you know, we're having a trying time now, so the money be put to good use.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
All right, you're welcome. Well, thank you for your time. I really appreciate it. I'm glad we could finally connect, and it was a pleasure speaking with you, and we will be in touch.
You got it. Thanks for having me. Take care. Have a good day.
Okay, you too. Bye.
Bye.
Well, that wraps up another edition of TTM Cast, the podcast of the TTM Autograph Collector. My name is Jeff Baker, and I have been your host for the program. If you are interested in being a guest in a future program or would just like to send me a comment, feedback about the show, please send me an email at ttmcast@yahoo.com. Once again, the email address is ttmcast@yahoo.com. Our next show will be next Sunday, March 20th. Second, I have a kind of a cool guest, a kind of a different guest for me on the next show, another former author, so we're looking forward to that. I'd like to thank Mr. Mike Ruzioni for joining us today. It was a pleasure to speak with truly an Olympic and U.S. Hockey legend. It was a great time to spend some time with him. Hopefully you enjoyed our interview. Please be safe out there with everything that's going on in our country and in the world. Stay safe for you and your family. I'm wishing everyone a great day, and as always, wishing you many happy returns.